Hello and welcome to another slice of Pie and Vinyl. I'm James Sandy, and in this podcast, I talk to Wedding Present frontman David Gedge about their new album Valentina, life on the road, and those all-important gift options. There's also a chance to hear some of their exclusive live set at Southsea's favourite acetate and gravy merchants. Hot-footing it across town to the Wedgwood Rooms, I spoke to David just prior to their soundcheck. I'm very pleased to be with David Gedge of The Wedding Present. David, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks very much for talking to me. If we can start with Valentina, which I believe is your ninth studio album.
Well, it depends how you count, really.
Okay.
Because I actually think it's the eighth, because we did like a series of singles in 1992. We did 12 singles in a year. So that came out on an album called The It Parade. But to me, they're kind of singles, so I don't count that one. And then we did like a Ukrainian folk LP, which I don't really count as a Wedding Present LP. So yeah, I mean, I think it's the eighth one, but it's open to interpretation. If you include compilations and all that stuff, it'd be about 15.
So tell us about Valentino. Tell us about the kind of the theme or the kind of the focus of the album.
Well, there isn't one really, to be honest with you. I think, you know, my style is basically, I'm very interested in conversation in general. It's a very straightforward style, so there's, you know, I don't really use that much in the way of metaphor or, you know, poetic imagery or anything. It's just the usual kind of series of little stories or conversations based around general relationships, really, I think. Especially kind of the beginning of a relationship or the end of a relationship, or, you know,
so is it trying to,
a stressful time within a relationship.
Is it trying to kind of capture sort of dialogue or kind of moods?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, people often say that when they see my notes written down, it looks more like a dialogue for a film or a play or something that rather than a pop song. Which that's kind of what I've aimed to do really over the years. I've honed it down to this kind of conversational style. So, and there's no real theme, you know, in terms of lyrics. I mean, musically there was a bit because we had a lineup change just before we recorded it, and our old guitarist left. Now, drummer became the guitarist because he obviously could play guitar as well. But that kind of influenced the way it was kind of written in a way, because obviously, I suppose he was coming from a kind of drumming perspective. So there's a lot more in terms of like your quirky kind of rhythm things and, you know, tempo changes and stuff like that, you see, which I think possibly we wouldn't have, you know, had as much of had a guitarist been writing the tune. So yeah, it has got a quirky personality of its own, I think, musically.
I was going to ask you about lineup changes, because I think The Wedding Present are possibly one of the bands that's had possibly the most lineup changes since, I think, you started in 85, is that right?
So yeah.
You've been going 27 years, mm-hmm. And you've had a lot of people sort of come and go, is not the right expression, but you've had a number of personnel, shall we say.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I think I was the remaining original member by about 1991 or something. So it's been a quite... And you know, it's always sad when people leave, because obviously in a group you form quite a bond, because it's quite an intimate relationship. You're on tour, you're in the studio, you're writing, and you're on top of each other, basically. And then when someone goes, it's a breaking of that kind of relationship. But if I'm honest with you, and it sounds quite cynical, I think the lineup changes have kind of benefited the group, because obviously you get like a new person coming in, and they've got a new enthusiasm and sort of new inspirations and new kind of influences and things. And so each time the group goes through a little kind of rebirth, really.
And do you find, I mean, this might seem a strange question, but do you find perhaps as a constant member, because you in the band from day one, as it were,
yeah.
Do you find that places some restrictions in terms of, you know, because you've got the sort of flexibilities of new people coming in, but do you find that there are, you know, are there things that you definitely want to do or kind of things you won't?
No, I actually kind of relinquish control in a way, because I always feel that the sound of the band and what we do at any one time should be kind of based on whoever's in the band at that time, I suppose. And I think I'd be stupid not to, in a way, because I think if it was me saying, you know, it's got to sound like this and we've got to go in this direction and we've got to do this, it would end up being quite samey. You know, conversely, I'm quite proud of the fact that, you know, they've got this series of albums now, 8, 9, 10, whatever, and they've all got their own kind of unique style, in a way, because they've been almost different groups through the years. So I think it keeps it kind of varied, really, and keeps it fresh, you know.
And there's kind of, I think, around sort of 4-year pause since your last studio album. Is that right? You kind of 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. The other side of that argument is basically, we have a major lineup change like we had. It does slow the process down, because obviously you've got to find someone, they've got to fit in, and they've got to start writing and stuff. So it took longer than usual because we had like a double lineup change because that guitarist who was the drummer he was the first change, and then our bass player left and we had a new bass player. So the combination of those two did slow us down a little bit.
It's complicated. Now tell me about there's a hardback book and a film that's just been released. It was released I think 25th of October, which is the kind of story of a wedding present album. So the current album Valentina.
Yeah.
This is the kind of behind the scenes exclusive expose. Tell me about some of the thinking behind that.
I suppose first of all, it wasn't my idea.
Okay.
I was just approached from by somebody who works for HarperCollins, and they said, you know, would I be interested in doing this kind of like, you know, book version of the album, if you like. And I thought it was a great idea, to be honest, because, you know, I'm always interested in doing, you know, I never wanted to be one of those bands who kind of do, you know, album tour, you know.
Yeah,
it's always nice to do something a bit different. Hence, as I say, we did the Ukrainian folk music in the 12 singles. I've got my other project, Cinerama. I do my own festival. We do a comic, we do a book. And I just think the book was one of those.
So this is a kind of companion piece, which is a kind of, I suppose, a richer version of the album rather than a
Kind of, because I know some bands do kind of deluxe versions of albums. And I didn't really want to do that because it seemed to me just, in a way of, making kind of, you know, more money out of the same thing, really. Whereas this is actually like a completely different thing. Even though if you get the book, you can download the album, free with it. But it's more about, you know, I've always been interested in those books myself. You know, the Beatles at Abbey Road and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and little documentaries and things. So as a fan of music, I think, you know, I've always found that kind of stuff interesting. Hopefully, you know, the people will as well. And it's just about the making of the album. The lyrics are there, and, you know, and then as you say, there's a documentary connected to it which you can view, and it's more of the same, really, you know, just how we did it.
I'm interested in how you use kind of different media, if you like, in terms of what different things bring out. And you mentioned at the start there, you, I think in 92, released 12 singles kind of consecutively across the months. Mm-hmm. Your attack on the hit parade, as it were. But I think, thankfully, you're one of the people to blame for the saving of vinyl as a format.
Yeah.
I think had a contribution. So how do you use kind of, you know, film and vinyl and sort of increasingly multimedia stuff to kind of...
I've just always been interested not just in pop music, really. I've always been interested in I suppose pop culture in general. So that extends to books and films and comics and TV and, you know, video. And, you know, I'm kind of interested in all different aspects, even down to the record sleeves and, you know, how the record's released and all that, you know, how the band looks on stage, all that kind of stuff really is interesting to me. And also I'm probably slightly obsessed with that.
Some obsessions are good obsessions, I think.
I guess so, yeah. I suppose the danger of trying to do too much sometimes, so you kind of weaken something. But so in regards to the book, I just thought it was presented to me as a really strong idea, and I thought, yeah, I would love to do this, you know, so, you know, why not?
And of course, late 90s, I think you kind of became Cinerama, which was a sort of a side project or a separate project?
No, I totally became Cinerama because I actually, in 1997, I kind of put the wedding present on hold while I did this other, which was initially like a side project. Just because I wanted to try some different types of music, really, because I've always been interested in film soundtracks, for instance. Particularly the work of people like John Barry and Ennio Morricone, people like that. So I didn't think the wedding present was the right place for that, really. So I thought it'd be a bit unfair to try and drag all those people down this stupid road with me. So I started my own project. And initially I did think it would, you know, maybe for, you know, 8 months or a year or something. But in the end, I actually kind of decided that I quite liked it. And I was enjoying the kind of control, I suppose, of the whole process, because I did all the writing myself at home on the computer and stuff. And so it kind of became 8 years, actually, and the wedding present was on hold.
And gradually wedding present stuff kind of crept back in?
Well, what happened was, it went from being a solo project with just me and using other musicians to actually being a band that played live. And then as that band kind of started to write the Cinerama stuff between us, it was gradually became kind of more guitar-y and kind of heading back towards wedding present territory, even though it's still quite orchestral and string arrangements and stuff. But then we were doing this album called Take Fountain, which we all thought would be the fourth Cinerama album. and it just sounded like the wedding present, really. We actually came to do a session in Maida Vale in London for John Peel, and obviously I'd been in there previously as the wedding present, then as Cinerama. You know, the engineers were saying, David, you know, it's called Cinerama, but it sounds like the wedding present, because you know, there was no strings and there was no flute and there was no trumpet and stuff. So I think the penny finally drops, and I thought, well, let's just call it the wedding present, because it's confusing people, and I don't want people to kind of, you know, I don't want Cinerama fans to buy this and it sound like the wedding present, and I don't want, you know, wedding present fans to miss out on a new wedding present record.
Yeah, you know, kind of reached a kind of natural juncture, I guess.
It's kind of like a big curve, you know. I don't know what the word is. You know, it started miles away from the wedding present, and in the end, it kind of converged. So I think Take Fighting was kind of the point where the two bands became, you know, the same, really. And then after that, I suppose the wedding presents moved on again, back into more guitar-y kind of territory anyway. Oh, my so-called life was boring until you exploded into my world. Say without a doubt, the liaison we're exploring. I see the whole new side of me being on board. Of course, I'd love to fall head over heels for you, but there's a question of your lovely fiance. I don't want to be swayed at all by any arguments that you put, because I told myself we can't go on this way. So get back a bit, get back a bit, get back a bit, back a bit, now stop. Since you've begun to show what kind of person you are, I think I might have had an epiphany. That's why I need to go, and this may sound a little bizarre, but I'm going before you do the same to me. So get back a bit, get back a bit, get back a bit, back a bit. To be a girl like you.
Tell me about live performance, because the wedding present and live performance is very much kind of, you know, they're synonymous with each other. You know, you've always been a kind of, I think, a real advocate of live music and,
totally, yeah,
and playing live. You've done a lot of festivals recently, and also you've played some quite curious small venues. There's some footage of you, I think, on Wedding Present TV, which is a YouTube channel, at a bike shop in Texas, a kind of, I think, a sort of preview gig for South by Southwest.
No, it was actually part of South by Southwest. It was actually a radio station over there called KEXP from Seattle. And they do it every year. They just broadcast from this bike shop. It's actually Lance Armstrong's bike shop, I think.
Okay, right. We better not go into
it. I know, it's falling into it.
And obviously, earlier you were playing at Pine Vinyl, which is another kind of curious mix of things. And that was absolutely rammed, and that was a great set as well.
It's pretty small, wasn't it?
It's very small, but is there something from the intimate performance that you get that perhaps you don't get in a bigger venue?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think it possibly that might have been slightly too intimate in that you know, you can look up and people are literally a foot away from you. But, you know, as a fan of seeing live music myself, I never enjoy the big concerts because, you know, the band are too far away, the sound's always kind of echoey around this massive room. You know, a place like, you know, the Wedgwood Rooms, where we are today, is perfect for me because it's a nice, small, intimate space, but at the same time, it's got the production kind of values of a bigger concert, really. It's got a nice PA, a nice stage, you know, the facilities are great. So, yeah, this is an ideal situation for me.
Now, I don't want to go on about this too much, but the Wedding Present have been around for 27 years, mm-hmm. which...
So you keep saying, you make me feel...
I'm sorry about that, I'm sorry.
Older and older by the second.
You only look 29, so you must have started young. What's the secret, do you think? Because, you know, you've been, you know, sort of writing, performing, and it must take a hell of a lot of energy and a lot of kind of...
Well, as I was saying to you before you switched the microphone, I think it's probably a slight form of obsession in some way, because I do feel driven to do it. I don't know what it is, you know, I don't, you know, really do it for fun, you know. It's not particularly enjoyable, and I don't really do it for the money. So, especially these days, there's kind of less and less income to be made from recording music anyway. But if I don't do it, I do feel like I miss it. You know, like, you know, we're on tour now, and I'm looking forward to actually, you know, writing more songs. And then I'll be writing more songs. I'll be looking forward to recording them, and I'll be looking forward to going on tour and playing them live again. So it's, I mean, in one way, I suppose the kind of variety of the, you know, of the process is. You know, keeps it interesting, but also, yeah, I do feel, you know, very sort of addicted to it. You know, if I don't do it, I'm craving to get back there and do it again, really. So
I think you can be reassured by the fact that other people love what you do, and famously John Peel said that you've written some of the best love songs of the rock and roll era. Now I think, you know, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, actually, I got him to fax me that, actually, because he said it on the radio, and then I think it was a record label we were on at the time, Cooking Vinyl, wanted to do an XFM advert for the radio station, and so they wanted a quote, and I thought, well, you know, use that quote, and they said apparently they can't sort of use a quote in a radio advert unless it's been, you know, signed off by the person who made the quote. So he had to send me this fax, which was just because he said, you know, I phoned him up and or emailed him or whatever I did, and he said, I can't remember what I said now. I said, well, he actually said this, and I quoted it to him, and he wrote it out and signed it and faxed it to me. So that was, I've still got the fax, obviously. So that was, that was brilliant.
It's a great one for the autobiography, at least, I think.
Mm.
Now, we were at Pine Vinyl earlier on today. Now, you may not be aware that Steve at Pine Vinyl got married recently, and you can guess what I'm going to ask you. I gave him a ukulele as a wedding present.
Oh, right.
Which is for a number of reasons, which we won't go into.
Nice.
But are there wedding presents you could recommend? Obviously, your lovely new album and book would be a good start.
That book would be a good one.
That book would be a good one, wouldn't it? Nice, the wedding present. Exactly. But I wondered if there were any recommendations. But also, I wondered, you know, are there things people should avoid at that kind of ceremony?
Well, I've always found weddings to be kind of like odd occasions. You know, I think, you know, in this modern age, marriage isn't really, you know, quite as... It's not the kind of institution it was. Hmm. Yet we still have this infatuation with weddings, and we still have this, you know, kind of dressing up and slicing the cake and, you know, and the kind of ritual, you know, the father hands over his daughter to the next mother.
Yeah.
I find it quite kind of archaic and perverse, really. But having said that, I do enjoy them. You know, it's quite good fun, which I guess is the reason why people have them. But that's what wedding presents. I don't know. I mean, what is a wedding present these days? Because in the old days, it was stuff which helped the couple, you know, the newly married couple have their house, didn't they? But
I guess it's money these days. I guess money rules, I guess.
I see a lot of people giving quirky things these days, don't they? Like, you know, I don't know.
Ukuleles.
Well, yeah, exactly. In my case, we buy them.
I'm glad you gave a very colourful answer to quite a silly question there, so thank you for that. You've got dates coming up in Cardiff, Bristol, Dublin, Cork, Oxford, Leamington Spa, Royal Leamington Spa, we should say, Reading, but also 2013, I think February, you're touring George Best and the Hit Parade album, as it's called, and you're playing New York and Atlanta and LA, so you're kind of all points of the map, really.
Well, actually, yeah, we're doing Australia and New Zealand and Japan as well, but it's not announced yet, but yeah.
Wow.
Well, we, you know, it's what we do. What we do in the world. As you said before, you know, the Wedding Present are a live band. I think that's what I've always wanted to do. I imagine we will probably do the Hit Parade and George Best over here at some point again. So,
well, David, it's been absolutely great to meet you and to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time.
No worries.
And best of luck with the tour and the new album.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
When almost as if you just read my mind. I said it's nothing, which of course was entirely true. But I was terrified that you would find that I've been using you all this time. And it's not that I don't adore you, because I do. But I've realized that I don't think safely trapped behind the wall. So I've been using you all this time. It's not that I don't adore you, because I do.
Another Slice is a King of the Buttons production for Pie and Vinyl. Our thanks to The Wedding Present for the use of their music in this podcast, and for more information on Southsea's favourite record cafe, go to pieandvinyl.co.uk.